and we settle. Remember, life will not give you what you pray for or ask for. Life will give you what you settle for. And we settle for a truth that's not truth. And then we pretend to be people that we're not really. But God is our maker, not the world. We're not just some blob of amoebas put together that just happened to come out as you or me. No. We have a maker who made us in his image. So there's a standard, and that is the word of God. So I tune to the word of God. I don't have the word of God tuned to me.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. As followers of Christ living in a fallen world, we must know when to draw lines and when to build bridges. Sometimes we need to draw a line and say we will not cross into sinful territory. Other times we should build a bridge so that we can reach across and rescue those who are lost. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Drawing Lines and Building Bridges.
Today I want to talk about drawing lines and building bridges. Sometimes Christians, all we do is build bridges. We think that's what we're supposed to do, just build bridges. Others, draw lines. We got to draw a line. But if you only draw lines, that's what makes us bigoted, and that makes us legalistic, dogmatic, and self-righteous. On the other hand, if we just, all we do is build bridges, then we start to compromise the truth and we allow untruth to leach into the church. And then we fall prey to the apostasy where we just capitulate to things that are deceptive and we don't have discernment. One of my prayers in the last 5 months or so has been out of 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, and it'll come up on the board, but it says, the sons of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel should do. In this series called Understanding the Times, my prayer is that we too will be like the sons of Issachar and that we understand the times in which we live and we know what we should do. That we won't be swayed, because the Bible says in the end days that deceiving spirits will come to even deceive the elect. Everybody raise your right hand. That's who you are, the elect. And so the crosshairs of the enemy is on you. Because if you capitulate and you fail, it brings confusion to the world. And so God wants us to understand how to deliver truth, but deliver it in a way that changes lives. You say, but Wayne, how do we know the difference? And how do we get the courage to discern between when to draw a line, when to build a bridge? I'll tell you how. It's called the Bible. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the Bible. You know, this does not only contain the truth, it defines the truth. And it's the word of God that we have to put into our hearts, that we know how to speak in a way that God will give you authority to, and it changes people's lives. The Bible says it in this way. If you know the truth, the truth will what? The truth will set you free. Psalm 119, thy word is truth and the sum thereof. And in the same chapter, Psalm 119, it says, forever, O Lord, is your word settled in heaven. Did you know that when you and I get to heaven, the Bible will still be every bit as valid? That's why I want to encourage, in fact, charge you, all of us, to be a people doing daily devotions. As you know the word of God and it comes into your heart, you'll have the wisdom of the ages, because your best friends and mine are in the Bible. And every problem you're going to face has already been faced by someone in the Bible. And they leave clues behind like breadcrumbs so that you'll know how to navigate those crazy times in which we live. So be a people of the word of God. You'll be surprised how it'll change everything. So lift up your Bible, lift up your hand, make believe it's in there, and say this with me. It'll come up on the screen. Here it is. Go. This is my Bible, the word of God. And I boldly declare that this is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I have. I have what it says I have. I do what it says I do, for I am a citizen of heaven. Can you say amen to that? Amen and amen and amen. Each of us are going to have an appointment with God to make a choice whether this is the truth we live by or what the social media says. You're going to have to make a choice. And work hard on your perspective, because as I said, your perspective or what you believe in will determine your reality. And you could be living by a false reality. Let this be the lens through which you see the world. It is the Word of God. Now, some people will say, you know, Wayne, I don't know. I'm just going to not make a choice at all. I'm just going to kind of be an agnostic. I mean, I like God's blessings, but I don't like his laws. I don't like his rules. So I'm just going to stay in the middle. Let me tell you what happened on May 10th, 1940. Holland, part of the Netherlands, that where the Dutch people are from, they were facing a possible takeover by the Third Reich, the Nazi regime. And Hitler was advancing his forces. On May 10th, 1940, Holland went on Radio Europe and declared neutrality. We're not going to be a part of this at all. We declare our neutrality. Thinking that that would be the end of the story, but 15 hours later, there would be over 830 warplanes in the air over Holland. And 750,000 ground troops, not 7,000, 750,000 ground troops. There would be over 300 tanks. There would be 6 armored train cars and 1,300 heavy artillery weapons that would move into Holland, surrounding it. And on May 14, 4 days later, Holland fell to the Third Reich and surrendered. Listen carefully. Satan will no more respect your neutrality than Hitler did Holland's. You must make a choice. And if we stay in the middle, as Revelation says, we will be called lukewarm that the Lord will spit out of his mouth. And so we must make a choice. And someone said it this way, Wayne, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And we will become susceptible and we become gullible to the world's rationale. Yeah, but you know, I want God's blessing, but I just don't like his rules. So what do you do? Well, we just kind of like make a God that fits our lifestyle. Really? I say it this way. In the beginning, God created man in his image. And ever since then, man has been trying to do the same with God. We try to fit God to our image. We want churches that have a God that thinks like we think and looks like we look. We choose Christ, but we want his ways to be like our ways and not the other way around. Because he's got standards and principles and ordinances, but he has them for a reason. The reason God puts certain rules in place is because you don't live alone. You live in community. This is called the body of Christ. You see, you can live one way and claim all your rights if you lived on an island by yourself. But we're not. We're called members of the body of Christ, individually one of another. So God has made us a family. We're part of his body. We live in community. It's very different. See, if you lived alone, you can run around in your skivvies all day if you want to. You can run around buck naked if you want to. You can leave stuff all over the floor, don't wash dishes, who cares, because I live alone. Yeah, but if all of a sudden you live in an apartment, you better not do that. If you have people living in community and it becomes a community of people, you can't do those things. Well, it's my right. You don't do it in community. If you live alone on an island, you can. But if you live with other people, there are different kinds of principles and ordinances that we must live by so in order that we live properly and we don't come into conflict and hatred and we start destroying each other. There are certain principles that we must follow. Take, for example, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given to Moses. God gave it to them because he knew that the Israelites leaving Egypt would have to live in community and would have to live peacefully with one another. So the Ten Commandments were given. Now, Moses, the Bible says, delayed 40 days now to bring that down from Mount Sinai. Well, because he was delayed, the Bible says that the people went into lawlessness. And they said to Aaron, make for us a golden calf. So Aaron makes a golden calf. And now Moses is coming down from the mountain and he hears the revelry. He hears the partying. He hears some weird noises. And when he comes down, the Bible says the people were so out of control. It's like, I've only been gone 40 days. But in 40 days, they were so out of control. There was immorality, orgies taking place. People were just completely gunny bags. And I looked at that and I thought, what an example the golden calf is, that without God's rules to help us as guardrails, we become slaves to our own passions within 40 days. And that's not freedom at all, is it? So they had become slaves to their own passions. And the reason God says, I'm bringing these commandments down so that you'll learn to live properly, because you're living in communion and you're living in community. Because without rules, we'll be left to our own untutored judgment. Judges 21 talks about that. And it'll come up on the board. Would you read it nice and loudly with me? Go. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own. See, the funny thing about the Bible is that the people that lived back here in the days of Judges are the same like we live today. We're all doing what is right in our own eyes. We all decide what the truth is for ourselves. There's no standard. There's no plumb line. But the Bible says, no, if you're going to be the people of God that I created, because I'm your maker, I'm going to give you certain principles to live by so that you can live in harmony with one another. And these are the rules. But we've taken God's rules and we've made them our own. We've kind of dumbed them down because that way we like it that way. See, you know, you have instruments like these guitars here. And there's something called A440. A440 means that when you have an A, it actually beats at 440 hertz per minute, just beats. And it has this. Now, that's a universal standard. So that when I play this guitar, well, when I play some jazz on this guitar, I can play this in Japan, I can play it in Europe, because there's a standard. But what if it doesn't sound quite right. And something's funny. Doesn't that sound nice? It's like, stop it. But if I say, you know what, I want to tune God to me, and that's how it is, and I can get a whole band to kind of tune like this, and we'll listen and we'll go, ooh, but I guess they're right, because everybody's doing the same thing. I guess it's okay. But something in your heart says, that's not right. Something's not right. Did you know that even though our nation and our society is in turbulence, in the heart of every man, there is a conscience that we know something's not right. But because of the pressure, we say, ah, I must be right. And we settle. Remember, life will not give you what you pray for or ask for. Life will give you what you settle for. And we settle for a truth that's not truth. And then we pretend to be people that we're not really. But God is our maker, not the world. We're not just some blob of amoebas put together that just happened to come out as you or me. No. We have a maker who made us in his image. So there's a standard, and that is the word of God. So I tune to the word of God. I don't have the word of God tuned to me. For example, would you give me that E there, would you? Do I say, tune to me? It would be pretty bad, wouldn't it? But hit that again. Again. I keep thinking. Right there? Getting there? Pretty good ear. Now we can play together, can't we? Yeah. But our problem is we sometimes try to get God to tune down to us, and we say that's the way it should be. And that's called relative truth, where everybody has their own A440, A32, A15, a whatever hurts we want it to be. And then we sound crazy terrible. And there's conflict. There's a lack of purpose because we have not tuned to the Word of God. The Word of God is our plumb line. The Word of God is what everything is to be juxtaposed to, and we tune to that. Well, how do you know that you're out of tune? You will feel it. God has given us a conscience. The Holy Spirit then uses that to say, no, that's not the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And down deep, because we have a common maker, he has put that in everybody's heart. And we have to deny that and become someone we're not designed to be. No, in fact, let's read what Romans chapter 2 says in the Living Bible. Would you read it? Go. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. See, your conscience inside of you will say, that's not tuned yet. Keep working on it. How many of you would say there's areas in my life that I'm still tuning up, and God is saying, you're almost there, you're almost there, keep going. Yeah, we work on that our whole life. One of the greatest victories you'll ever win is when you surrender to the truths of God's word. And when you do that, everything tunes up. Yeah, but what if there are those that don't? So we just draw a line? They're sinners. They're terrible. No way. Well, be careful. There's a scripture that we want to double click on, and we'll take the rest of the time this morning to parcel it out. And it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 through 26. It'll come up on the board. Let's read it together nice and slowly. Would you read it with me? Go. The Lord's bondservant. Stop just for a second. That's you. All right, that's you and me. So he's talking to us. All right, continue and start from the beginning. Go. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. Stop, which means we don't amputate. We don't draw lines. It makes us bigots and legalists. It makes us dogmatic. It makes us harsh. Continue from the beginning. Go. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. Skillful in, Peter says it this way, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. You cannot be passive and you cannot be silent. We must speak, but you speak without being quarrelsome. All right? So let's continue. He says, with gentleness. Oh, where are we? Okay, skillful in teaching. Let's start there. Go. Skillful in teaching. Patient when wrong. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. Pause. He says the way to correct people in opposition is with gentleness. Well, how do you do it? With the word of God. 2 Timothy says it this way, all scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And so the word of God is that which we must put into our hearts, weave it into the very fabric of our identity, and it just flows out of us with gentleness, not with harshness, not as a quarrelsome warrior, but as someone who is filled with the word of God. And that's why devotions are so incredibly important here at New Hope. And so the Lord builds bridges. He built bridges with sinners. He built bridges with those that had fallen prey to the enemy. And we as God's people must understand that too. But he was pretty strong with those who were setting those snares. In fact, he said, if any one of you messes with one of my kids called by my name, it's better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and you thrown into the depth of the sea. Think he drew a line there? Yeah, he did. Paul the Apostle said, remember Alexander the coppersmith, he said to Timothy, he has done me much harm. Be on guard against him yourself. He drew a line. In Corinthians, he said, let this one who is causing division in the church, we're going to deliver such a one over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh in hopes that he might be redeemed in the last day. Think you drew a line? You better believe it. You see, God draws lines. In fact, let's read this next scripture together. Would you read this next one coming up on the screen? Read that. Go. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom. Did you catch that? Yeah. It's those setting the traps that he has very little patience for. And he will be a judge. Well, would God just kind of send people into judgment? Yeah, he will. Well, that's just not loving. It's very loving. Because you see, what if you were the one caught in the trap? And God says, no, you don't get to do that. And he drew a line against the hunter for your sake. Let's put it this way. Let's say I have a big black robe on. I'm sitting in front of behind a big mahogany courtroom desk. And we have some criminals over here that have raped your kids. The mothers are over here. They pillaged your house and stole things and burned your car. They've done all kinds of wrong things. And your daughters are either dead or missing still. And you are saying, what do we do, judge? And if I go, you know, you got to love them. Boys will be boys. Now, you guys aren't going to do that anymore, are you? Okay, all right. You go on now. Go on. Yeah. Forgive them. Would you call me a good judge or a bad judge? And a lot of people think God should be a bad judge and think that's the way we should see God. And we tune him down to our bad guitar. The Lord is saying, oh, no. God is a just judge. God is very just. But he knows when to build bridges and he knows where to draw lines. God is the fairest of 10,000. Can you say amen to that? And so please understand how to build bridges and when to draw lines, and don't mix them up. Because if you draw a line where you should have built a bridge and you build a bridge where you should have drawn a line, I think we're all going to have trouble. So my prayer is that we will be people wise enough, like the sons of Issachar, who understand the times and they know what we should do. We're discerning enough to know when to draw a line, when to build a bridge. We don't mix them up. If you're here and you've been someone caught in the trap, it just may be that the Lord has brought you here today so that you will allow him to step on the devil and give you freedom. Otherwise, you won't have purpose in life. That's why drugs are so prolific right now, because people just want to be dulled. They don't have purpose. They don't have meaning. They just need to be free from all the pain. And so we drug ourselves. Even sexual promiscuity is like a drug of dopamine. And it just kind of gets us into another world, a fake world, but it destroys us even more. But the devil is just endorsing that. And if we're not careful, we will move our society into a purposeless, lawlessness thing that even like in the day of the golden calf, same thing will be happening today. They'll be without purpose. Let me finish with this little story. You know, biologists and scientists and people that are philosophers can tell you about your brain, can tell you how it works, how you're made. They know the chemical content, nervous system, endocrine system. They know all about chromosomes, DNA. They know all of that. They know how you were made. But they don't know why. Let's take a look at a chocolate cake. The most brilliant scientists in the world can tell you the ingredients in that chocolate cake, tell you all about its sugar content, about its caloric content, talk to you about everything that's in it, how it was mixed, everything. They'll tell you how it was made. But no scientist in the universe can tell you why that chocolate cake was made. But the one who made it, Aunt Matilda, she can tell you. She can tell you for which granddaughter it was made, why it was made, and why she put the certain ingredients in it, because that granddaughter liked certain things over other things. Only Aunt Matilda can tell you why. And if Aunt Matilda doesn't tell you why, you will never know why that cake exists. And the same thing is true with mankind. Scientists can tell you about your brain and everything about you, but they can't tell you why you were made. Only your maker can. And if man has a maker, and he does, he can reveal to you why you and I are put here at the end. He can tell you why we were made and the purpose of our life. And if you lose that, you lose purpose. It becomes meaningless, and we live lawlessly. And we become subject to slavery, enslaved to our passions. But if you'll ask God, he will tell you the purpose for which you were made, and you will live on purpose. You will be a person of great purpose, of great meaning, and great value. And that's what we want to be in these last days, to this world, to our nation, to our family, to this church. Let's be a people who are like the sons of Issachar, that understand the times, and we know when to draw lines, and we know when to build bridges, because we know our Maker. Can you say amen?
You have just heard a message entitled Drawing Lines and Building Bridges by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until we meet next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
But God is our Maker, not the world. We're not just some blob of amoebas put together that just happened to come out as you or me. No. We have a Maker who made us in His image.
You're not just some blob of amoebas. Isn't that good to know? You were created by God, and you were created for a purpose. Think about that as you go about your day today. For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.